Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. And as always, we will open with prayer. Invite the Holy Spirit to come on in and be in here with us today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would enter into this room, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge if you don't come, we might as well go home. So Lord, we pray that you would come and not just hover upon us, but fall on us, infuse us, Lord God. We pray for an understanding of your word today, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, this day, Lord God. I pray that you would not just bless this house in this room, but bless all over this house of God and bless all over the houses of God, all over the world, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the revival that's breaking out all over the world, Lord God. We thank you for the revival, oh God, that's breaking out in Japan and Asian nations and Indonesia. We thank you for the revival that's breaking out in India. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, because it is as you said your word that revival would come in the last days, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you and we pray for them, oh Lord, that they would just continue on. And we pray also for this nation. Oh God, we pray for this nation especially, Lord God, that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, Lord God, so that you can hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land, Lord God. Oh Lord, we thank you and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we just are just going to go forward in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Judy wants our list, and I got one.
Our list? Our handout?
Yeah.
Let's see. She has been and I, all I have is the original, so if you want to, if we need more than one, how many needs a handout today? We have several. No, this is the same one. This is the same one. This is the one from today. So this, we'll have a new one.
This is 23, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get a new one next week, but she's going to... She'll make copies. Can you make copies from that? So, who else needs a copy? Okay, we need to make copies from that one. Can we, Rita, would you make some copies for us? Looks like you might need maybe about three or four. Three or four should do it. I thought we were good. I wish we're all out of handouts. But we'll get more copies. So as we go forward today, guys, you know, last week we talked about praying this name, the power of God, and I hope you were as blessed as I was with that lesson, how we have got to look for that power within us before we start to want to pray for it to happen outside of us. You know, Jesus has to change you, because that's one thing that is important in mastery of the power of God, is that it has to be manifested in your own life. That is, I mean, God won't be compromised, you know. So we have to pray for that mastery, that power. When you start to see that power, when you start to see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life, that's your power indicator coming up, that I can love people, that I can, I have faith more than I had. I have joy in the midst of unforeseen circumstances, any circumstance. I have long suffering. I have patience with people. That is your indicator that the power of the Holy Spirit is rising in your life, guys. And I'm telling you, this is a real thing. I am surprised at how I am today from how I was 5 years ago. I mean, I was a Christian, but man, I'm telling you, God has done a work. That power indicator has come up some since then, 5 years. And I thank God for that, because you want to look back from year to year and like, Lord Jesus, I thank you. The power indicator has come up a bit, you know, because I'm changing. You know, because of the power of the Holy Ghost. So as we are praying this name, the power of God, we're looking for that change in us. And now today we're going to talk about hallowing or holding sacred this name, the power of God. And our key scripture is coming from Revelation 1:8. This is the New Living Translation, and it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. And we are familiar with this scripture. Just, we did a whole lesson on the Alpha and Omega, but we're going to look at this scripture in the aspect of Jesus Christ being the power of God. So your first point in your lesson says, as you hallow and hold sacred this name, his name, the power of God, You must come to know that his power is greater than any other power in the universe. Okay, you have to come to that place. If you believe that any other power is greater, you will fail to hold his name, the power of God, sacred over your life. And that's just a truth. If you do not believe that his power is greater than any other power, you will not hold his name sacred, the power of God, over your life. You will revert back to other things that you think are more powerful. The power of God, we have to know that it is the greatest power in the universe. If you fear men and women over God, you will fail to hold this name sacred. And it's just a truth. You will make decisions based on fear rather than faith. And you will not see his power manifested in your life because you will not walk in faith, folks. That's just the truth. And it's and we're going to get into this. This is a path that we all go down. You know, there's no need of us pretending as if we have this great belief when we don't in the power of God. But let's get there. There's a way to get there, so we're going to get there. We want many accomplishments, many businesses, many families never saw the light of day because someone failed to hold the power of God sacred over the power of Satan and the power of humans. Many things never happened because somebody failed to hold the power of God sacred over the power of the enemy. Because he's going to come at you. When God tells you something, you can believe he is coming at you. Okay? But you have got to hold his power sacred no matter what's going on around you. And I'm telling you, when it starts to get really tumultuous around you, people start acting out and all of that, know that the power of God is moving. You ever have to dig up some dirt, and when you dig up that dirt, the dust starts flying, you got to break up that hard ground, and you know, things start flying around. That's the same way it is when God starts moving. So you keep praying, and you keep pressing into the power of God. The power of God, I don't care what I see. God, I know what you've said. And you hold to the power of God in the midst of any type of situations, because so many things never happened that were supposed to happen, that God called and God called people to do, never happened because they held the power of Satan and humans over the power of God. And that's what we want to get when we're holding that sacred. The first point in our lesson said, you must know within your soul and spirit that he is the power that was, the power that is, and the power that is to come. There are no gaps or failings in his supreme power over everything, past, present, and future. Folks, there is no gaps in this thing. You know, he was set in place from the beginning, and he is still in place today, and he will be in place tomorrow. That's what we have got to come to hold to and grasp onto. This is why testifying of his goodness is important. You need to remember what he has done for you. We take so much for granted in our lives that has involved the power of God. One of the reasons why we don't understand the power of God and we kind of think that, well, I don't have the power of God operating in our lives, because we take so much of the power for granted. All the things that he does for you, you know, we take for granted. Some of us should have been dead, but it was the power of God. Somebody praying for you. That's why you're here today. But we take that for granted. Where you were and where you are today, that didn't have to happen. You know, those things didn't have to come through for you. Okay, when you needed that job, it didn't have to come through. When you needed this, it didn't have to happen. You know, your business, God did not have to bless your business, but it's the power of God working in your life, and you've got to acknowledge that. Because see, if you ignore it and think it doesn't exist, guess what? It'll lay stagnant. It'll do something, but it's sort of like, it won't come to higher things. You won't try the higher thing because you fail to recognize what he's already done in your life. That's why we testify. That's why we tell each other of the goodness of God. That's why that's so important, that testimony. Remember the scriptures talked about they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Because that testimony brings a power into your life. I recognize. Folks, I can go back, man. If I go back 5, 10 years, I remember where I was. My life was broken. And when I look at myself today, I can't believe I'm sitting up here talking like this in front of you guys. I'm like, I mean, broken. I was ashamed, man. I was back in the, as I said, I just kind of crawled into praise assembly and went up in the balcony up there, you know. But where God has brought me from, that was his power. That was his power. And I recognize it now. Oh, that was your power in my life that changed my attitude and changed my mind and delivered me from shame and delivered me from doubt and delivered me from fear. That was the power of God working. Don't ignore it. If you feel like doing it today, power of God working in your life. We talked about that. You want to see the manifestation of that power. So as you're holding sacred that name, you want to go back and you want to testify to yourself sometime, to testify of your goodness. You need to remember what he's done for you. This is why singing songs that praise what he has done is important. We need to remember what he's done and go forth and what he will do. We sing the praise songs we sing. We sing about what he has done. You know, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Because he loved me. Oh, he loves me. I love that one. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That brings that power into your life when you sing those songs. You don't have to just sing them in church. Sing them at home. Sing them over the kitchen sink. Sing them in the shower. Something about the name of Jesus. I had to play that one. That one came on our radio today. I feel I got to play that one for the class because it talks about we're surrounded. He talked about being surrounded by the hordes of hell. And he talks about how sometimes it's whispering all kind of things in my ears. But there's something about the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's power.
Wow, I get that power.
Power. I'm telling you. You want to see power in your life? You want to have some boldness? You want to have some faith operate in your life? I'm telling you, it's something about the name of Jesus. Just start singing it. Just start singing some praise and worship. And watch that indicator in your life come on up a little bit. And you're able to do it. You're able to love. You're able to do what you didn't think you could do. So we're hollowing. We're holding sacred this name. Because as you know, the enemy is trying to always bring your indicator down. Oh, he stays on us Christians. He stays on you. Because if I can just bring that indicator down, and that's why he's always hitting you with all kind of crazy thoughts. You know, every time. I mean, he's always hitting me. Always about somebody. Always just wants strife. All he wants is if I can just divide those Christians up. Oh, but there's something about the name of Jesus, honey. So pray your worship and bring your indicators back up. Hold sacred this name. There was an old song they used to sing, How I Got Over. How I got over. My soul looked back and wonders how I got over. You know, and I just thought about that song. I said, yeah, I guess we do wonder because I knew what I was like. So how in the world am I standing up here today teaching y'all about Jesus? How did that happen? How I got over. My soul looked back and it wonders how I got over except for the power of God. That's the only way that could have happened. So next point in your lesson, you must trust in the arm of God above all other arms. When the odds are stacked against you, this is the best time for the arm of God to be displayed. And I'm telling you, God will do it on purpose. God will have the odds stacked against you on purpose. So he can show his might in your life. It'll be personal. It'll be I want to show off for my child. I want to show him or her my might. So if it's stacked against you, praise God. Lord, I can't wait how you're going to do this one. Because he will show himself mighty. Call on him, especially at these times. His word compels you to speak to him at these times, saying, wake up. Hallelujah. This is from Isaiah. Wake up, O Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Flex your mighty right arm. Rouse yourself as in the days of old when you slew Egypt and the dragon of the Nile. Are you not the same today? The one who dried up the sea, making a path of escape through the depths so that your people could cross over. See, that's one to note right there. Because when you have, when the stacked against you, pull out Isaiah 51, 9, 10, and start praying this. Wake up, Lord. Wake up. Are you not the one? Are you not the one that brought me from, you know, back in 2010 when I was all jacked up? Were you not the God that brought me out of that? Lord, wake up, wake up. It's 2016, and I need you, Lord. Are you not the one that did that? You know, you can adjust it for your life. Lord, are you not the one that gave me a house when I didn't have a place to live? Lord, were you not the one that gave me a car? Lord, were you not the one that put food on our table? Lord, can you do it again, Lord? Wake up, Father. Wake up. And he will come with his might and in his arm. He will come. And he will deliver you, his people. I dare you to pray it. I dare you to pray it when you're faced with your next trial. I dare you to. Y'all gonna come in here testifying. Y'all gonna come here. Guess what? I prayed that prayer and this is what happened. Because he's a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Next point, remember you are a child of the living God. Of the living God, amen. His love for you compels him to come to your rescue. I mean, you parents, you know what I mean. If something is happening to your child, I mean, you don't even think about it. You are there. If you see some danger coming towards your child, you are there. How much does God love you? His love compels him to come to your rescue. Don't listen to the liar. He's going to say, oh, God forgot about you. God is not going to listen to you because of what you did yesterday. Oh, he comes with all kinds of stories. He comes with all kinds of stuff. Don't even bother talking to him because you know he's a holy God, so he's not going to listen to you. See, I'm like, well, what about the blood of Jesus? You know, see, he tries to lie to you about the blood of Jesus. You know, whatever happened, is you, Lord, yes, that happened yesterday, but Lord, I'm coming to you. Forgive me, Father. I repent before you. In the name of Jesus, done. Now go ahead and do what you need to do and ask the Father for what you need to ask for. The enemy plays that game that you have to go through some penance or some season of in the back closet when it comes to the things of God. You don't. You don't. Because what did Jesus die for? If you've got to do that, then what was his blood for? What's the good of his blood if you got to pay some price now? No, you come right into the presence of the Father. Like the prodigal son that was coming out. Remember? The Father saw him from afar and ran out to meet him. That's what God will do for you. So don't let the liar tell you anything different. You hold to the power of the living God within your life. His love will compel him to come to your rescue. Sometimes your rescue will come through his wisdom, which is a manifestation of his power. And that's the next lesson we're going to go right into, the wisdom of God. Christ will give you words and insight into situations that you did not know of and rescue you. Sometimes he rescues you through wisdom. He'll show you, okay, do this and then do this. Go here, ask this one. I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit will just lead you and guide you because you asked him. Lord, rescue me. Okay, this is how we're going to rescue you. You know, so don't get caught up in your mind on how he should rescue you. Just listen. Go into prayer and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But you must hold sacred the power of his wisdom above the ideas and the thoughts of men and women. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So you gotta keep that in mind because there's gonna be a lot of voices in your ear whispering, a lot of opinions on what you should do. But you've got to know how to hear the one voice. Know how to hear the one voice. That's why you have to have a prayer life. So you know when Christ is speaking. You know when the Lord is speaking to you. You know, people have told me, well-meaning people have told me things. You know, they loved me, they cared about me, but it wasn't what God was saying. I had to hear the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? about things. His power is in his word. That's why we have to study his word. Is that so we'll know what his word is saying. You know, we got to know what's going on. Hallelujah. So as we look at our next point, his power is also manifested through his teaching. And again, if you're going to hold sacred the power, you must hold to his teaching. And I want you to really get this point. His power is manifested in obedience to his word. You want the power of God moving in your life? Then you've got to adhere to his word. Not to your emotions, not to your feelings, not to your opinion, not to your intellect. But you have to adhere to the word of God if you want the power of God to operate in your life. This is part of the mastery. This is part of the mastery. We're still talking about the mastery. Is that we have to adhere to. The scripture says the Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is very great because of the strong, and because strong and powerful is he who obediently carries out his word. And this is from Joel 2 and 11 from the Amplified. God will not give his power to the immature and the disobedient. So if you're immature in the Lord, always acting on your emotions and everything, and, you know, my feeling got hurt, so I'm going to act out in this behavior, you still got some work to do before you're going to see the manifestation of the power of God. Your power indicator within yourself is still rather low. It's like God will not give a revolver to a five-year-old. The power of God is something, and he won't just give it to the immature. And he won't give it to the disobedient. The power of God will be manifested in the lives of those that adhere, that follow his word. Hallelujah. And they will see the power of God. As we talked about in previous lessons, you know, don't worry about people that see you as weak or people that see you one way or another, or you're just, oh, that was stupid. You should have done this. And you don't worry about that. You adhere, you hold sacred the word of God so you can see the power of God in your life. If you want to see it, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, God is real. His word is no joke. I'm telling you, you adhere to that word of God and you will see the manifestation of the power of God in your life. People will just look at you and know you're blessed. You're so blessed, man. You just, you know, this, you know, blessed and highly favored, you know, you know. And you won't even, you know, it's like something you don't even know what's happened to you. People just say, man, you just don't seem to blessed and highly favored. Thank you, Jesus. Just adhering to your word. Just adhering to the word of God. So that's what we want to get to. That's what we want to practice. If you want to see God's power in your life, then you have to grow up. You have to grow up. You know, I'm telling you, I mean, the apostle said it to the churches, the early church. He said, it's time for you to be eating meat and you still need milk. You still whining about the little stuff. How in the world can you do the great things if you're still whining about the little things? Somebody made a comment. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody, oh, please, there are people being beheaded. There are people being thrown in prison for the cause of Christ. Somebody turned my radio off at work. Really? Come on now. Grow up. Grow up. I mean, I have this picture in my mind right now of Jesus, just carrying that cross up through the city, humiliated, and all the power of God within him. And yet he adhered to what? The Father told him to do and carry that cross up Golgotha Hill, up to Calvary, and let us nail him to a cross. The power of God all in him. That's the power. And we can't take anything. We won't grow up. Somebody said, you know, I work with kids with autism, as you know, and you know, when Mac was little, man, every little thing, you know. You know, I gave him the blue plate instead of the yellow plate. Ah! Gave him oatmeal instead of cereal. Ah! That's the way we are sometimes. You know, every little thing. Instead of, Lord, thank you. I have the power. Lord, give me the power. And I'm not saying you don't have feelings. We're humans. You have feelings, but take those feelings to Jesus. Lord, that wounded me. What my sister did, what my brother did, it wounded me, Father. He knows. I was like, watch him minister to you. He'll minister to you. I know it wounded you, but, and he tells me things that I didn't see it from that perspective sometime. He said, but I'm trying to win that one. They wounded you, but I'm trying to win them. Would you stand in the gap for them? Would you pray for them? Would you do that? I love them. Would you? And boy, it just changes everything. Yes, Father, I will. I will. I will. You know, I've heard it said that one that can't forgive has forgotten what they've been forgiven of.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes I'll get the flashes of what I've been forgiven of. And then it comes back to this person. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I can forgive. Because I saw what you forgave me of. And you forgave me. And you cleaned me up. And you blessed me. So I can do that. People of God, it's time to grow up. We've got to grow up and stop. Let's grow up. There are souls that are hanging in the balance that need you to be mature in Christ. The power of God brings with it maturity. So let the power of God dictate to you and not your feelings. It's not that your feelings don't get hurt, but when you're mature, the power of God dictates your reaction. That's the difference. The feelings still get hurt. Even when you're mature, your feelings will still get hurt, but the power of God will dictate your reaction. Instead of whining and crying and running away, taking your marbles and go home, you'll stay and you'll minister and you'll pray and you'll listen. You know, even when people are accusing you and even when it's wrong, you'll listen. I want you to get that picture of Jesus accusing him. They accused him, convicted him, but he stayed. Why don't you call down the angels, 10,000, why don't you call them down and rescue you, Son of God? But he stayed. He stayed because of the power of God that was on him at that point. All through him. He's going to do what the Father told him to do. And we have to do the same. We have to do what the Father told us to do. Right. Not tit for tat. Not trying to get your point across. Not trying to tell somebody off so you can feel better. That's pride. That's your pride. Pride, pride, pride. And that's a powerful thing. And you need to always keep it in front of your face. Oh, that's my pride. My feelings got hurt. Look underneath. There's pride. Holy Spirit, help me. The pride is trying to rise in me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Help me to subdue this thing in the name of Jesus. Lord, you died so that I would have the power over this spirit. And I rebuke it in myself in the name of Jesus. Help me to love. Help me to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. The next point in your lesson says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit and the completeness of a person and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow, that's Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified. To hallow and hold sacred his power, you must allow the truthful dissection of the word of God in your life. You must submit to the discernment of his word within the deepest issues of your soul. You want to see the power of God manifested? Then you've got to allow the Word of God to dissect in, to deal with some of these deep things. Remember that story, that handout we gave you a few weeks ago, My Heart, Christ's Home? And it talked about that little closet, that little stinky closet that the guy wouldn't let Jesus in. No, you can't go in there. You don't go in there, you know. And Jesus said, well, it stinks. I smell. I can't stay in here. So I'm going to go sit on the back porch until you're ready for me to go in the closet. I love that story. And then he invites Jesus to come in and clean up. Clean up that resentment, that grudge I've been holding. That sin, that habit I won't give up, that thing I just want to hold on to this. The Word of God. You want the power of God in your life, then you got to let Him in. We all got it. I just let Him in and let Him clean it up. You'll be so much better for it. So it comes down to this. Are you going to hold sacred the power of God in your life? Are you going to hold that power? Are you going to hold it sacred? And that means you let it grow. You let it flourish. That's what it comes down to. Or are you going to squelch it? Are you going to keep it in check? Don't get too powerful in me, God, because I don't want you messing with my agenda. I don't want you messing with my how I have things set up. That's what it comes down to. Because some of us, we're holding steady. We're holding stagnant. Yes, you are saved. Yes, you have Jesus in your heart. But boy, you keep things... We're not going anywhere. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to change. We're going to stay right here. As I said, we're right inside the door of the house of God. We're just right inside the door. But we're not coming in any further. Therefore, you stay there, seeing very little of the manifestation of the power in your life. And it's a sad, sad thing because I think as we look at the body of Christ, I think so many of us are there. We don't want to see the manifestation because that means I have to change. That means I have to let the Word of God expose some things and judge some things. That I'm going to have to let the Word of God come in and do some things. Not talk to people. I mean, it's very plain in the Word of God. Do thou shalt not. And so, Jesus understands me. He knows. He knows what I'm like. He knows. Won't tap into the power of God. Will not forgive. Nope, I can't forgive that. No, you can't, but the Holy Spirit can if you let the Holy Spirit do it. But you won't let the Holy Spirit do it. Therefore, your power level stays there. Because God cannot be compromised. We're going to go into that right now. The next point says His holiness and His power cannot be compromised. His power will never fall into the wrong hands and be misused. You never have to worry about the power of God being misused. Because it can never fall into the wrong hand. The power of God is holy. Do you know that? Yes. The power of God is holy. Electricity is not necessarily holy, okay? Electricity will work for anybody. But the power of God is holy. And it cannot be compromised. And it cannot be misused. It cannot fall into the wrong hands. His power will never fail. Remember, this is the greatest power in the universe. It will never fail. It was before, it is now, and it will be in the future. The scriptures declare, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes all over and within, underneath their wings, and day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the ruler of all, who was and who is to come, the unchanging, eternal God. That's Revelation 4:8 from the Amplified. It's wonderful to know that the power of God cannot be corrupted. Aren't you happy? Yeah. with all the power that we see, the political power, you know, the powers that operate families are sometimes corrupted and abuses can take place. The power that happens in governments can be corrupted and abuses can take place, but aren't you happy that the greatest power in the universe, the power of God, can never be corrupted? I'm happy about that. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. And that's why we can always run to Him. No matter what is the issue in your life, you can always run to Him. You know, and He can oversee anything, overcome anything that you're dealing with. The rules of His sovereignty will not change. He will not betray you with His power. And I want you to get that. God will never use His power to betray you. Some people would. Human power, they'll betray you. They may betray you with their power. But God will never use His power to betray you. He loves you. And no one can use His power outside of His holiness. This is why Lucifer had to be cast out. That's why Lucifer had to be cast out. You got to, you know. Because you cannot use the power of God outside of His holiness. And again, there is our issue. There's our issue. We want to be so powerful in God and we want to walk in His power, but we don't want to submit to His holiness. That's always our issue. You mean I have to forgive? You mean I have to let that go? You mean I have to stop doing? You mean I have to stop being? And He says, yes, you do. But you'll be better for it. Trust me, you'll be better for it. You'll be better for it. The enemy's got you thinking you need this, but you don't. It's nothing.
It has a lot to do with your
focus. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to grow up. You have to grow up. You have to let the Word of God dissect you. And the Word of God hits hard, I'm telling you. I mean, just ask me to do stuff that I did not want to do. My flesh did not want to do. It wasn't fair in my mind. My logic said it wasn't fair that God would even ask me to do that. But that's a dissection of the Word of God. And there's a trust that comes along with it. Are you going to trust Him and let Him dissect you? What does the scripture say? Dividing between the joints and the marrow. Boy, that's intricate surgery, man. Because we got some stuff down deep. Goes all the way back to our childhood that He wants to deal with. If we would allow Him and we would let Him, He will deal with it. As we are holding sacred His name, the power of God, it is a call to believers only. Okay, get this. The unbelieving and hypocrites will never wield His power, but only those who are truly within His house, under His protection and His guidance. And again, you've got to get that. You know, God loves everybody. Okay, that's true. God loves everybody. But there is a difference between the children of God and those that do not believe God. There is a difference. And only the children of God can operate in the power of God. You know, hypocrites, people can come to church, they can put on all the go through all the motions of coming to church, but Christ knows those that are His. And they will never wield the power of God. They can pretend. I've seen pretenders. I've seen pretenders come and run revivals. Conjure up power, conjure up all this activity. But no power. It's emotions. That's what you're saying, Rose. It's emotions. It's not power. The power of God is something that's real. The power of God is something that you know when the power of God is in the room. Even unbelievers know when the power of God is in the room. They can't operate in it, but they know there's something going on in this room. The scripture says, and this is this long passage from Luke 13, 24 through 30, it says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Force aside unbelief and the attractions of sin, for many, I tell you, will try to enter by their own works and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and closes the door and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door again and again, saying, "Lord, open to us," then he will answer you, "I do not know where you are from, for you are not of my household." Then you will begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." But he will say to you, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers." In that place there will be weeping in sorrow and pain, and grinding of teeth in distress and anger, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out and driven away. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and they will sit down and feast at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Wow. I'm telling you, it goes on. It goes on. There are pretenders all around us. And it's interesting how Jesus said this in different ways over and over again. He taught about the sheep and the goats. He talked about the wheat and the tares. I mean, he just is constantly talking about this thing, about the pretenders that are coming up along with the true believers. So you have to decide what you're going to be. You have to decide. This is a personal relationship. Jesus died so we all can have a personal relationship. So it's the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can come to church all you want, but are you drinking from the well? Are you getting your power indicator up? Are you submitting? Are you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God? Or are you just doing your thing? He will know. This is the warning. I will know. He said, "I will know." You're not fooling Jesus. I don't know why people think they can fool Jesus. I don't get that. They think they can fool Jesus. I'm like, either you don't believe he exists, or you think you can fool him. Don't you know he knows what's going on? So we have to make a decision. And I love that last part. I was just meditating on that scripture. It's the last will be first, and some who are first will be last. And I was just meditating. I said, "Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Who are the first and who are the last?" And I really felt the Lord, the prideful. They're always first. They're the ones that's always pushing themselves to the forefront. The first ones, the ones that, me. He said, they will be last. And the exact opposite, the humble, the ones that love God with all their heart, but you never hear them say too much. They're just doing behind the scenes, and nobody ever, and they never come forward because that's just not them. That humility, like, no, I don't need you. They will be first. And the reason why I know that, because our King walked it that way. The most humble one of all is King. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So the humble, the most humble of all, in all of human history, the most humble of all was Jesus Christ. He came from heaven, the furthest, down to a stable, and lived and walked among us, taught us, and then let us do all. Torture him and put him on a cross. That's why he's King. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Hallelujah. He had the most power. He had the most power because he walked in humility. That this humility, man, if you can latch onto this humility thing, your power indicator will shoot right up. If you could just, as I said before and before, that's where we fell as humankind. We fell in the pride. We fell at the feet of pride. And that's why he came. I got to come in humility to rescue them. And that's what he did. I'm telling you, what a wonderful and amazing example he was for us. And we may not, we're probably not going to finish this today. But we'll just do this last point and then we'll open for questions. The power of God does not manifest in those who hang around Christ, but rather in those who are in Christ. Note how many of scriptures address those who hang around Christ in his church, but are not true believers. Their lives give their true belief away. Your life will testify as to who you really are. I've said it before, you're going to do what you believe. You can come in here and praise and worship and all you want, but you're going to do what you believe. So your life will testify for him or not. So we can wear all the decorative garments, we can wear crosses around our necks, we can do all this stuff, but Christ knows those that are truly his. Amen. Amen. Any comments?
So this is being my spirit, and I feel so guilty. I know God put me here today to listen to you. But as you may know, the election is all in chaos and stuff, division and all that stuff. And I don't know, I guess it's better to confess just all your sin. I guess it's a sin. Well, you know, as I said, I like Trump, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just, in my spirit, I feel like, you know, he's always like in my head, yeah. You know? So I think I need to repent on that. And I know what you said here is like, I feel like it's just putting him first, people,
yes,
God.
Yes. Yeah.
And I need to repent on that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And
well, you're doing that right now, Rose. And God, you're covered under the blood of Jesus right now.
And I just need to repent on that.
Yeah.
And I know I need to be here.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Amen. That's okay. That's okay. That's what this is about. That's what this is about, letting the Word of God come in and dissect. You know, so thank you for sharing, because I think it testifies to all of us what we need to.
That way.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know if a lot of people don't know this, but Trump is a Christian, a genuine Christian. And I really believe and feel that the Lord picked him and put him there. And he's gone through a lot, but Jesus also went through a lot too. But he's standing strong. He's standing so strong. And a lot of ministers and pastors are praying for him. And all of us that believe so much believe in a miracle. Trump's going to be our president. And it's going to be a big thing to change. He's like he says, he's going to change America.
Wow.
He's a new, a brand new person.
Yes.
Just brand new. And Franklin Graham was on Fox News. And he said, well, you know, I can't defend the things he said or done. But we've got to remember the Supreme Court is at stake here, abortion, partial birth abortion. But his daughter did endorse him. And he is around Pat Robertson, Copeland, all of
yes.
the evangelists. And they said that like 25 million evangelists, Christians, did not vote last time. So, you know, I think they've got to get out and vote, and I don't think any Christian will endorse a lot of things Trump said. But the man was in a different world than we are, and I believe he's going to be convicted. Pence has no problem saying Jesus is...
That's right.
So, you know, that's where I am, too. I am going to vote for him because...
And I think the point that Rose was making was that Jesus is always first, you know.
Yes.
That Jesus is always first. That even though, you know, we are praying for people and we should pray for our leaders as the Bible
Absolutely.
Tells us to do, you know, but never forget that Jesus is Lord and he's
yes.
the voice that we hear
yes.
above all other voices.
And,
and I think
yeah.
that's the point
and
she was
making. And he's also been on the 700 Club twice. And Pat Robinson's, one time I seen him, had confirmed that Trump was going to be our president.
Yeah. So again, that's a point. Okay, so you.
I heard that we are not voting for a pastor. We're voting for a president.
Yeah.
If we were voting for a pastor, we would not vote for somebody negative. But we're not voting for a pastor. We're voting for a president, and that's where we have to stand for, you know, and know the lesser of the two evils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead and talk. Awful.
You know, I think we just need to not focus on who we're going to vote for, because like you said, God's in control. Like my husband tells everybody, he's constantly telling Rachel that Obama's not leaving no matter who gets elected, because it says in the Bible that there's going to be a one world government, he has to pave the way. And I really believe that too, but who's to say that all the signs are here that God's coming back? There's still a lot of people that need to be saved. So even if Trump doesn't get elected, I kind of feel that it's God's will, because it's time for the world to come. And if not, you know, God still has more to say. So I don't think people should say, we're going to vote for you, we're going to vote for you. We're going to vote for Trump, we're going to vote for Obama, because they all have their faults and stuff. And God's will is going to be done. And I think people shouldn't get upset and, well, Trump said this and Obama said that, because God's will is going to be done, you know. Mm-hmm. If Obama's the one, then I kind of hope we're winning. Hillary's the one, because Hillary's going to do what Obama started.
Yes, right.
And so if Obama's not going to leave, like my husband says, that I say we're closer to going to heaven than ever before.
Yeah.
But God's the one that's ultimately going to decide.
Yeah. And I just want to remind you guys, we're talking about the power of God. Okay, because we don't want it to become a political. Because we're talking about the power
I'm sorry,
of God here.
Guys,
no, that's okay. I got your point. I got your point that you were talking about how Christ is the power over everything. And I, you know, I know we're facing probably one of the most important elections of this nation's history, if not the most important election of this nation's history. But again, guys, I remind you of the power of prayer and the power of God. And again, it comes down to, Lord, thy will be done.
Amen.
Thy will be done, thy kingdom come.
Amen.
And that's where our mind should be. That's where our mindset should be, is thy will be done and thy kingdom come. As we go forward into this week, you know, that we just really just hear the word of God. Because it's easy to get caught up into our different opinions, but let's remember the power of God, the power of God we're talking about today. I'm glad we're talking about this today, about holding it sacred and holding it closer above the power of humans and a power above the power of the enemy. Okay, so let's just keep that in mind this week.
I just want to give testimony of the power of God. This week on Tuesday, I went home after Bible study, and I was going to go to my sister's and take something to her. And I left and got in the car without it. And I seen my landlord getting up on the roof. And I drove around, got to the stop sign. And I remembered I had forgot what I was taking to my sister. So I said, oh, I can take it to her later. It was like this voice said, no, go back now and go get it. So I went back home, went in, got it, put it in the car. And as I was getting ready to get into the car, I heard the ladder slide and fall. Then I heard this big thump, and I knew it was my landlord had fallen off the roof.
Wow.
And I yelled, Brian, are you okay? He didn't answer me. I can't run, but I'm trying to walk down the street as fast as I can to him, and I'm yelling, Brian, are you okay? And in between, I'm saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Brian, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All the way till I got to him, and finally I get to him, and I said, Brian, are you okay? He says, no, call Susie, his wife. And then he blacked out. And all I could do, I couldn't even pray. I mean, the words didn't come. All I could do was put my hand on him and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I could say. That's all that would come out. Well, I said all that to say this. The power of prayer, I got in my car and I knew I couldn't drive. I was shaking so bad. After the ambulance had taken him, I called the church and I lifted him up in prayer, told him what had happened. And then I left and went to my sister's. I finally, by that time, I was calmed down enough to drive. Well, the next day I called Susie to check on Brian, and this is the praise report. Just the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Not a broken bone, not a concussion, absolutely nothing. There was no sign of him falling at all.
Wow.
But that's just the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
name of Jesus.
Wow. Hallelujah. Something about the name of Jesus.
You know, I'm so excited today because God moved on my life. The day we had that prayer line here at the church.
Yes, yes.
I've been hassling here with my hands, and this, I think I had shared one of the ladies. This one finger was not coming up. And we laughed about it. And I says, and right there in service that day, you know, you keep thinking this is arthritis. You assume a lot of things. So right there in church, I said, you know, Lord, I'm tired of this little deal. You know, God knows how I talk. So he says, you know, Lord, I'm tired of this little deal hassling me, or, you know, I'm going to go up and expect you to do a miracle here for me. And I went through the line, and Evan ran through the line. And sure enough, 2 days later is when I realized this hand is working perfectly. Fine. The power of God is for real. Just do it. Just do it. Step out. Step out. Don't. If he could do it some with a little finger, he could do anything with anything.
Yes.
But we've got to step out in faith and do it.
Yes.
Right.
And talk to him like you talk to him.
Hallelujah.
Don't try to make things so fancy or so. No, just be yourself and do it. Oh. I love to see how God works in people in my life. And I love to see how he just does it. And then all we have to do is give him all the glory.
Amen.
It's just being obedient and give him the glory. Because he's the one that expects us to do it and deserves it.
And I praise God.
So my hands are
our faith activates God's hand.
Yes.
The power of God's hand.
And again, just an example.
A little finger,
is
you know?
That? Yes.
But it wouldn't come up, Sister Karen. I was having to wake up in the morning and I'd say, hey,
yes.
Aren't you getting up today? And
yes.
I made a joke out
yes.
of it.
Yes.
You know, hey. And,
yes.
and I kept thinking about, then that day I thought, hey, I'm going to go see what he has for me.
Well, you know, God is very personal, because that's how your power indicated. Remember, we talked about it has to happen within you first.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll do something personal for you, like your little finger that I never noticed your finger, but I'm sure you noticed your finger.
Sure, every morning.
You know, that how God will do those little personal things for you to bring up that power indicator. You know what Irene was just talking about, that just that the voice of the Lord told me to go back. And if I had not come back, who knows how long he would have laid there. You know, people not knowing. And if you didn't call on the name of Jesus, you know. And again, I say, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So just from them saying what they're saying.
Yes.
So what might they do next? See, what might they do next? Now, next time, you know, you run into somebody that have arthritis in their knee, you're going to be ready to lay hands on them.
Amen.
And believe it. Who else do we have? Okay, that's good.
I agree with you, Ms. Virginia, because when I went to Israel, I couldn't even hardly walk. Our church went, 23 of us, and they had to put me in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk at all. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and all that stuff. I couldn't hardly walk, so they had to just wheel me around in a wheelchair and stuff. And they prayed for me, where Peter saved the, you know,
Right.
Yeah. So they prayed for me there and everything. Now I'm, you know, the power of God, he's real. He is absolutely real. He healed me completely, you know, and he's real in my life. The power of God, when you just trust in him, you know, you'll go through tribulation and test and trial, but you have to stand fast in him because he's a good God.
Yes, he is.
He's a good God, and he's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I repented today.
Yeah.
I needed that.
And I'm glad you did, because it's just that simple.
I needed that.
You don't have to be. Yeah.
That's why I'm late, because this guy was talking about me, because I was in Facebook, was telling about Hillary and all that stuff and how crooked it is. You know, that is just judging somebody, you know, and I see that's a sin.
So I got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I just have to stop doing that.
You know, again, the power of God, the power of God, because when we do get, I know we all feel strongly about things, you know, and about the election in particular, people feel very strongly. And that's why we've got to stay in the power of God above all things, because he's got this. He's got this in his hand.
Get around to you,
Cheryl.
Oh, my praise to the Lord is he works so wonderfully.
Yeah.
Right. There we go. Well, hallelujah. You know, because someone that I've been praying for a long time, because God knows Satan attacks me through my family or my friends. And my nephew this year is doing so good in school. He has friends. That's what I was praying for. He has friends. He's found his niche. He's in the theater. He had a birthday. I went on Facebook. All these kids are wishing him happy birthday. Girls and boys. He got a part in the next coming up play. He's gone to the mall. He's gone to their house. Yes. 4 or 5 boys. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Something about the name of Jesus.
That's right.
The power of God. See, that's the power of God. Because, yeah, you know, we've chatted. You know, that's the power of God. Power of God. And you want to acknowledge that and give people the word of your testimony so they will start to tap into that power of God as well. Anybody else? Let's get John over here.
Just two things. One is this whole thing about who we vote for. You know, the bottom line is, I believe we vote in alignment with the scripture.
Yes.
It's really that simple. To me, we choose the candidate whose beliefs align with scripture, and that's that. And the other thing is, God already has this figured out.
Amen.
He hasn't made a mistake in the history of humankind or the history of the universe. And the scripture is very clear. God will appoint who he wants an authority over us. God appoints them. I mean, we have our part in this, but God appoints them, plain and simple. And the last thing is, I would just ask you to pray for a friend of mine. His name is Ken. He's just went through a tremendous struggle with cancer. He was stage 3. They had to remove a lung. There's still a tumor that was treated by radiation that's wrapped around one of his arteries. That they couldn't remove, but the radiation seems to have been effective. So he has 2 relatively young children, and truly a man of God, a man with a strong heart, a man with fire in his heart and his soul and his mind. And I believe that God's got some great things in store for him and the testimony that he will give. So I would just ask for your prayers.
We will pray for Ken. Okay, why don't we close in prayer? Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your power, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we are growing in understanding of your power. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would manifest your power to everybody in this room. Even this week, Lord God, manifest your power in their lives. Manifest your power in their families, Lord God. Father, let them know, Lord God, that you are here and you are available, that you are a God with a mighty arm, Lord God. Father, I also pray that we submit, Lord God, that we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Oh God, that you can exalt us in due time, Lord God. I pray that we grow up. Bless us to grow up, Lord God. Oh Lord, let your power move in our lives, Lord God, that we will see with clarity that we cast off trivial matters, Lord God. Oh Lord, for there are souls at stake, Lord God. Father, we pray for Ken this morning, Lord God. We agree with John, Lord God, as we pray for him, Lord God. Father, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done in Ken's life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for healing all throughout his body, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you give him, Lord God, deliverance, Lord God. We pray for deliverance from cancer in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we pray and we agree today. We believe in your power, Lord God. And we agree, Lord God, that you would move in his life, move in his family, encourage his family. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, encourage Ken's heart, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray for this whole group, Lord God, right in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray for healing, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for deliverance in the families, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord God. We tap into the power of God right now in the name of Jesus. Many have been praying in this room. They've been praying for things for years and years. Lord God, I pray that you would manifest, oh, Lord, your power in their lives, Lord God. Oh, Father, if it comes through the power of your wisdom, if it comes through the power of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, Lord God, we pray that you would manifest it, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And, Father, I pray that they would come back, Lord God, and that they would declare the word of their testimony that came because of the Lamb of God. Oh, God, we pray for the word of their testimony to come forth on what your power has done in their lives. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We expect it. We expect it, Lord God. We go into the rest of this day and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, oh, Lord, all of the week expecting you. Lord, we thank you. Move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit, through this nation, Lord God. And yes, we do pray for this election, Lord. We pray your will be done. We pray your kingdom come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray. Oh, Lord, and we expect it. We expect it. We expect it. We expect it. In Jesus' name, the power of God, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.